Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers. TaylorMade by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach discusses who will replace St. Thomas in the schedule each year. He tells us how weird it will be to see Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform. And the coach provides a Memorial Day message. So let's join TaylorMade.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Before I even get the team updates, I know, you know, we're talking on Memorial Day, so, you know, I just want to make sure we thank all the fallen soldiers, man, that fought for this country. And again, we wouldn't be able, when I say we, as coaches, you know, speak for all the coaches, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing now if it wasn't for them. So just want to make sure, you know, send a special thanks out to all the vets and fallen soldiers that have passed, man. So team updates, good. Finished up with finals. So I'm anxious within the next couple of days here to see how our team performs in the classroom, and just getting ready for the summer push. And I mean, it's getting close to, you know, whenever we get into the summer and it's Memorial Day, you're like, okay, a little summer, but then once you get to July 4th, man, it's just go time. So it's time to, all the fun and the play is over. It's time to get yourself ready to roll. So I'm excited for the next phase of our program, and that's getting ready for the 2020. Getting a real push for the 2020 season, so things are good.
You know, I'm kind of curious, and I know, I mean, I'm not looking for the details out of this or something, but, you know, at some schools, coaches obviously have to worry about the academic success of some of their players. Your players go to Hamline, so I'm assuming that you're not really having to be on top of very many guys. Would that be true?
Yes. I don't want to jinx myself, but yes, for the most part. You know, Rob, if we're dealing with in the off season 60 guys, there's like about five to ten guys you got to really kind of just keep a close monitor on. As our team gets bigger, it's probably going to end up being somewhere 15 to 25. So you got to be careful what problem you want. Everybody wants these big rosters, but with big rosters comes a lot more monitoring. So it'll be good. It'll be really good, man. But we've been blessed and fortunate. I'll be honest with you. This semester, one, two, three. Four guys that you really got to kind of just keep them close and make sure that they're doing what they need to do. So, yep.
Well, let's head to fan questions this week. Let me start with Randy, who says, I don't know if you've been asked this, but Hamline usually plays one different team each year. With the Tommies out, who do you add to the schedule to replace them, or has that not been determined?
Ooh, great question. That's come up a couple times with all head coaches meetings. Still kind of working through. You know, we have a great commissioner, Dan McCain. And that's kind of his wheelhouse there, so he's working through it. Usually, when we had St. Thomas, we would always play two non-conference. McAllister is always a big, big, huge rival for us. Anybody and everybody who listens to this show know McAllister is a big, big deal. So we always play them. And then this year, we play St. Scholastica, and we have them for this year and next year. And then actually, we have them for 22 and 23. So it'll be interesting with UST. Moving on, what Coach Mr. McCain does. So, you know, I'm just kind of waiting and watching for that.
Okay, so that's not going to be a decision that you're actually going to make yourself then. Is that true?
No, I won't be. I mean, I know between the commissioner, Mr. McCain, and the ADs, they'll figure out what they're going to do. If it's another team, if it's, you know, we just play a less game. I don't know what that's, I don't know how that looks. That's a little bit above where I'm at the pay grade.
Trent says, have you heard any talk about if there is even talk that the 2020 season may be canceled?
I personally have not. You know, I know that, you know, everybody that I kind of talk to around the country and the profession is, you know, they're trying to gear up to see how we're going to do this thing. You know, and the more and more, like you guys learned last week, I'm a big NASCAR fan. I got a chance to watch the race last night, and that just gave me, it made me a little bit more optimistic. Like, I think this season's going to go, you know, and I don't, you know, just my own personal, nothing that I've heard from anybody at Hamline, but just my personal thoughts. And I think it'll go, man. And I'm praying and hoping it'll go, because our guys have put a lot of time and effort in. But again, they got to be healthy. They got to be safe too. So I understand that. But just watching NASCAR, looks like basketball is going to try and get back in July. So it'll be interesting to see if we can take the proper precautions and get our student athletes ready to roll.
I think even hockey is picking back up in July,
okay,
too. So, Gerald says, this seems to be all the rage now to ask about, so let me ask you, give us your Mount Rushmore of players who you have coached at Hamline.
Ooh. Wow, this is one of the best questions. this is going to be tough. Hopefully some of these guys aren't listening, man, because now I'm going to have some problems. And they're going to be upset. Oh, gosh. Top four? Wow. Okay. I got to go Anthony Hill. He was a DB out of Champlin Park, four-year starter for us. I mean, just a sight to be around. I mean, a treat to be around. Academically, he got it done. Got it done on the football field. You know, he was able to make it into the Vikings camp for rookie camp. So, you know, and I still talk to him to this day. So Anthony Hill won. I had to go Justice Spriggs, two. Set 12 school records. Again, he's in medical school right now. Just an overall well-rounded. He's married, you know, starting his family. I mean, just an overall well-rounded, I can't even call him a kid anymore, but just a great person, man, that he's around and never got rattled. That's two. This gets tough now. Let's see. I would have to go. They're going to kill me. These guys are going to kill me if they hear it. I have to go Zach Swalback. Again, another defensive back. All conference his senior year. 4-year starter. I mean, was the heart and soul. So even when I talk about Anthony Hill, Zach Swalback was really like, he was the linchpin back there. Now Anthony Hill, we can go put him anywhere, and Anthony could play corner, Anthony could play safety, he played linebacker. I think I probably even rushed Anthony a little bit, but Zach Swalback got everybody lined up, man. Like, you know, that was, he was a big story our 2016 season. Both those kids. I have to go Anthony Hill, Justice Spriggs, Zach Swalback, and then I'm gonna get crushed. I'm gonna get killed for this one. Oh boy. I have to go. Gosh, I'm gonna. This is tough. I'm gonna have to go, I can't leave somebody off this thing. I'd have to go with, I'll go with Najee El-Arabi, two defense, two offense. Najee was when we talk about, thanking people, Najee's in the, reserves. He did it all through college, never missed a game, but he would miss a semester every now and again to go fight for our country and be into the reserve. So it's fitting that, you know what, it's fitting that I put him on here, man. He was a running back, receiver, did everything for us. He was in that first class with Anthony Hill and Zach Swalback that kind of got things turned around. So I'd have to go Anthony Hill, Justice Spriggs, Zach Swalback, Najee El-Arabi, man. So those are three solid guys, man. Wow, that's a great question. That's an interesting, tough question. My guys, if they listen to this, they're going to kill me. They're going to do it because we had a lot of guys. And you know what? Johnny Wynn could have easily been on there. Chase Dugenhauser could have been easily on there. A linebacker and an O-lineman. Those are the two that was. And Josiah Harris could have easily been on there. Nick Compa could have easily been on. So I got to make sure I give those guys respect too, man, because those dudes were warriors, man. They played their tails off and made a lot of plays for Hamlin football. So I want to make sure that they're the honorary. They're on the second team Rushmore. There you go. There were four guys right there on the second team.
We need more stress-free questions for the coach for next week.
I thought I had some tough questions, but that was the hardest question I think I ever had.
Andre asked, he says, Coach, being a Philly guy, which NFC East team do you despise the most? For me, it's not Dallas. Man. I just can't stand Washington.
Damn, you know what? For me, Redskins, Giants, I don't know. I don't like none of them. Probably the Cowboys, man. Yeah, I'm Cowboys, man, and I'm not a fan of the Giants. And even though growing up in South Jersey, you'll get any kind of fans down there, but you'll get more. To me, I feel like there's more Giants fans in South Jersey, so I'm not a fan of them either, man. So just and none of them teams, the Redskins, Giants, Cowboys, man, just despise them all. So
I'm with you. Never been a Dallas fan at all. Clint says, seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform is going to be really weird. It reminds me of when Favre was playing for the Vikings. Who are players you can think of that looked really weird wearing another jersey? It doesn't have to even be in football.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a great question, too. For me, growing up in my era, it was definitely Joe Montana. Seeing him go to Kansas City was like, whoa, that's different, man. Because, you know, even being from Philly and growing, like, you know, I followed the Niners big time because they won all the time. And so Joe Montana leaving and going to Kansas City, Jerry Rice leaving 49ers and going to the Raiders was weird. Randall Cunningham, not in Philly, going to the Vikings. Chris Carter going to the Vikings in that uniform was weird for me. I think those are the ones that really kind of stand out, man. With me not putting too much thought. Obviously, Tom Brady will be different, you know, looking at Tom Brady and, like you said, Tampa Bay, that'll be different too. But, yeah, those really stood out. I mean, really, Joe Montana going to from Frisco to Kansas City really pops off the top of my head.
Michael says, it seems like it is Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State that are going to be the top four or five of the six teams in college football each season. I understand LSU won last year, but do you see these teams dominating college football for the next decade?
Oh, man. Name them again, Rob.
Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State.
I could see it, man. I mean, I know there's going to be there's a lot more parity in football, but those schools, man, I think, you know, USC, I think USC will get it turned around, and you're going to start hearing about them a little bit more. He said Ohio State. Yeah, man, they're powerhouses. I mean, they're just great coaches, elite players. So, yeah, absolutely.
Tyrone asked, have you watched the Last Dance series about Jordan? I'll admit LeBron is great, but he can't touch Michael. Do you agree?
It's great that this is an opinion-based show. I do. I grew up with, and nothing against LeBron James. I remember being in college, sitting at Illinois State in my apartment, looking at a magazine. I don't even remember the name of the magazines, where maybe Jumpman's or Jump Something, and seeing LeBron James as an 18-year-old kid. And, you know, you start seeing the hype, and I remember watching, like, holy smokes, this dude is legit. And he is. LeBron James is the real deal. But I think what The Last Dance did, and I know it did for me, you know, you got a chance to really peel back the onion on Michael Jordan and what made him tick and how he was as a teammate, you know. And some people might say, oh, he was a hard teammate, but no, that joker wanted to win, you know. In order to win, man, sometimes you got to do some things you've never done before, needed to get something you never had, you know. So, I mean, to me, I look at it like, hey, yeah, that guy was tough. He was demanding. But the one thing that stood out in that documentary is he started tearing up. He said he never asked his teammates to do something that he wouldn't do. You know, so I don't know. It was good. So for that reason, I love LeBron. He's a little bit more, I've probably seen a little bit more of LeBron's live games. But, I mean, I grew up on the tail end of Jordan. You know, I don't remember Jordan in 80 when I was in 84, 85, 86. When he couldn't beat the Pistons, you know, I was 5, 6 years old. But, you know, when he in the 92, 93, 94, like, I remember seeing him. I remember watching Jordan. He was really good, so I'd have to give it to Jordan.
We have a couple from Nate. The first is, man, coach, I am really finding it hard not to touch my face when I am out. Is that the same for you?
Nate, check this out, man. I know. I remember when that first came out from the health officials, not to touch your face. Who the hell touches their face? I touch my face. That's it. Every time I'm out, if I have to go out in the store, you know, I'm consciously trying to, you know, social distance and be in compliance, but man, I've touched my face a lot. I've noticed that. I haven't noticed that until just these last couple of months. So yes, it is tough. It is tough, Nate.
He'd also like to know, is there any behavior you find yourself having to change when you are out now?
I just got to be more conscious of getting out and exercising, because before, you know, I go into work and I can either knock it out in the morning, I can knock it out at lunch, or I can knock it out at the end of the day. We're here, man. You can just wake up and start working all day and don't take any time to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So, yeah, just being more conscious of the exercise piece is something that, you know, I have to do a better job of.
Donnie says, it sounds like you record the show on Monday, so what Memorial Day message do you have for us all?
Man, just, you know, just really take some time. And I thank, you know, the fallen soldiers. Just taking time to, you know, understand that, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces to where we're at right now. You know, we wouldn't be, I know I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for people sacrificing. Like, we talked about the Najee El-Arabi. We have a kid on our team, Kyle Ketchmark. We have a freshman coming in on our team that's going to be doing the reserves. Like, without those people and all the other people that are in the Army, the Marines, National Guard, Air Force, Navy, like, this is a different thing, man. This is a different place. It looks a lot different. So, you know, they put their, they're very, we talk about being accountable and selfless in our program, man. Those are selfless, selfless people. So just want to really thank them and, you know, just understand that Memorial Day is just not the start of the summer or, you know, schools being open. It's about, you know, remembering how we got here and who helped us to get where we're at as a country. So just really want to thank all the soldiers, the past and the ones that are coming. So.
And we end this show with why it's good to be a Piper.
It's good to be a Piper. You know, we finished up our second semester. Guys are anxious to get working out. Hopefully the gyms will open up here pretty soon. But our guys will make excuses, man. They're working out as a team, player-led. with some of the captains in the morning, so I feel good about that until gyms are open, and we'll go from there. Just super excited about our 2020 team. Got a commit last night, a safety. I don't even want to tell you what state he's from, but he's from a long way away. So I feel really good that he feels comfortable, you know, trusting his next 4 years, and his mom and dad feels comfortable trusting his next 4 years with us at Hamline University. So I'm excited, and I've got a lot to be excited about.
That's awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, thank you. Talk to you next Monday.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamline coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pinier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.